Thank you, Lord. So my sermon this morning is called Living Above. Living Above. You know, I guess you get asked this question a lot. How are you doing? How are you doing? I heard somebody answer, well, under the circumstances, you know, pretty good. Well, the question is, what are you doing under the circumstances? You know, aren't we supposed to be living in victory? Should we not be living above the circumstances? As Christians, at least we ought to be, right? We ought to be. So let me ask you a personal question now. What is the worst position you have ever found yourself in your lifetime? What is the worst? Let me say, what is my worst position? Other than, of course, Jackie's stroke, which is head and shoulders above everything else I've ever suffered or dealt with. But the night before we got married, I was involved in a car accident. There were 13 cars involved and 10 people died. So it was a very severe accident. In South Africa, 45 years ago is what it was, we didn't have freeways like you guys have got here. Back then, the traffic was flowing on one little road, and it was going both ways. If you understand, it's just like a line in between. And we were traveling up to a tent revival that our pastor was having. We were going up to support it. And a Mercedes-Benz came flying past us, literally just wow, right in front of us. And the moment it got in front of us, the accident occurred. What happened, there was a vehicle coming from the opposite direction, a little pickup, and had a canopy over it. And one of the tires blew out, and it spun out of control onto the oncoming traffic. And it was the back of the little pickup that hit the front of the Mercedes. And this Mercedes was traveling probably 80 miles an hour. It was really gunning it. We were the second car into the accident. And when this little pickup hit the Mercedes, this was the most awful thing I'd ever seen in my life. I don't know that I could ever unsee this. You know, there's some things that you see that you wish, oh God, I wish I had never seen it. Well, the back canopy came out, and there were six children in the back of this canopy, of this little pickup. In those days, of course, there was no seat belts, there was no required. It was the big thing, throw your children in the back and go for it. Well, the driver of this pickup, and I feel weak even as I say this, the driver had four of his children in the back, and they were all killed. He was driving without a license, without insurance, and all the tires of his car were smooth. They were bald. They should never have been driving. And one of them had a blowout. Well, the other two children was the passenger sitting next to him, and they also died. So 10 people die. Our car impacted the car in front of it and lifted up into the air. It was, I don't know if you remember the old station wagon thing. It was called a Valiant. It was like this thing. I mean, it was like a tank. Seriously, used about a gallon of petrol gas to go a mile. It was that heavy. Well, this thing lifted off and flew into the oncoming traffic sideways. And we landed, and the car hit us from the side. The lady in her statement said, she said, the hand of God put that car down in front of me. We would have landed on top of her and crushed her. And had we landed without this car stopping it, it was a bumper to stop us, we would have been rolling into the traffic. Well, it stopped us dead. When we got in this car for this journey, the left-hand front door, well, the passenger door, didn't work. So we all had to climb in the other side. After the impact, I hit the door with my elbow after me crushing the dashboard and the glass cutting me. I was bleeding. I had glass everywhere. It stuck in me. I bashed this door open. It opened. I was able to get out. But the problem was that the other vehicles, it was nighttime, were coming down into the into the accident, couldn't stop. And I would see the lights coming and then hear the brakes that they would screech. I mean, I see it vividly, as clear as I'm seeing you. And they would screech, and then I just hear the crunch of metal as they would just, because, you know, the cars back then weren't made of whatever they're made of today. I'm not sure what that is. But they would just crunch into the cars, and I would hear screams of people. The children were screaming in Afrikaans language, and they were screaming, "Daddy, Daddy, where is my arm?" I got out the car and I ran for cover and fell over the side of the road, and vehicles were coming down and tried to avoid the accident, and they just took off just into the air and smashed into whatever. There was no barriers. They were just took off. And so, you know, we were rushed to hospital. It was a 40-minute drive to get to hospital. And everybody from that accident came there. And the parents that survived were sitting waiting, and every few minutes, one of the doctors would come out and say to the parent, I'm so sorry. Johnny's gone. I'm so sorry. Mary's gone. And it was constant, nonstop. Every 15 minutes, every 20 minutes, another death, another death. To me, that is by far the most tragic, traumatic thing I've ever experienced. The terrible, terrible position. But what about you? What have you been through in your life? Maybe you lost a job, not so traumatic anymore after hearing this story. But maybe you went through a divorce. Maybe you lost a pregnancy. Maybe you were sexually abused. I don't know what your position is and what you've been through. The question I have for us today is this. Are we still allowing that experience to frame our world today? Are we still thinking those thoughts? Are we still speaking words that came from that time? Are we still limiting our life today because of what we have been through? You know, people that went through the Great Depression, you know that they, those that lived, you know that they had that miserly mentality? They would just rub two pennies together and you couldn't get them to buy anything. They couldn't buy. They were so concerned. They were just like saving, putting money in tin cans and all kinds of stuff. If you know somebody, you know what I'm talking about. And that is what terrible trauma like that does. And many, many of us have had trauma in our life that could possibly be affecting our lives today. Now, let's lighten this up. What has been the best position that we've been in? What has been the best? Maybe when you got engaged. Maybe when you got married. Maybe when you became a father. Maybe when you became a mother. Okay? I'll never forget, I mean, when Jackie and I said I do the next day, and I had bandages everywhere. I was bleeding. I couldn't get the ring on because I had so many cuts and sutures in my hands. My hands were swollen like I couldn't even get the ring on my finger. And when I tried to carry her over the threshold, I just bled all over her wedding dress. I mean, everything opened up. You know, I'm just trying to pick it up. And so but I was a trier. I'm not going to let a simple accident put me down. But, you know, if I think about my children's birth, Hayne and Cindy, it was to me a miracle. It was so crazy. I could not believe what I saw. And that this little baby came out, and this little human being that, like, looked like me. It had two hands and 10 toes and 10 fingers and hair and face, looked exactly like me. All my features. How that changed me. Changed me forever, you know. But what about, I think the greatest thing that ever changed me, the greatest positional change I ever had, is when I got born again. Amen. And there is nothing to compare with that in the spirit realm. And see, I was raised in what was called a Christian home. We thought we were all cool. We thought we were all okay. You know, we would go to church now and then. More then than now. And when I was turned 16, they gave me a little card, said, you're a member. And I used that as my ticket out and ran into the world. I have a ticket. I'm good to go. And for the next 3 or 4 years, I mean, I lived it up. I lived like the devil. I lived like a teenager gone wrong. I mean, I did everything you could. And I got my license, and that increased my ability to sin. And then I got, I don't know, 18 years old, and you could probably drink. I think that's what happened. And I'm not sure if I waited. But, I mean, we just lived it up. And then I would go to church. I was dating Jackie. I'd go to church, and I would come and wake her up at her home and say, "Wake up, you heathen." Seriously. You righteous judge, you, I mean, what, who do you think you are? Well, I went to church, miss. Don't even talk to me. I'm going to go to heaven, you heathen. Okay, I wasn't saved. I wasn't saved at all. But I could pull a guilt trip on somebody else just because I went to church once every 3 months. But then I went to church and I got born again and baptized in water the same night. The next day, somebody released millions of birds. I know where they came from. It was just like birds everywhere, colors and chirping. And then flowers popped out everywhere and trees with leaves and stuff and a blue sky. And I'm thinking, where have you been? How did you suddenly come here? I was so moved that night I went and lay in the park until midnight. I'm lying on the wet grass staring up at the skies. I'm thinking, look at those stars. Have you always been there? You have no idea. I was like Saul on the road to Damascus. I went from sinnermost to uttermost. I went from darkness to light. To me, it was such a huge change. Now, we belong to a church that preached salvation, had altar calls, healed the sick, full of the Holy Ghost, baptized in water, and that's all. And you say, well, that's a lot. Yeah, I know, but you know there's a lot more? There's a lot more. And you see, here's the thing. Each level of what you walk in God comes by revelation. Comes by revelation. When Jesus said, "Who am I?" and Peter said, "You're the Christ," he said, "That's been revealed to you." You see, people that are not saved haven't had the revelation that Jesus is the Savior, the Christ. Then those who haven't gone forward and get baptized in water, which is the next, they haven't have this revelation, hasn't come to them. Those then who haven't received the Holy Spirit with the fullness haven't received that revelation yet of this. So it's an unfolding all the time of the revelation of God, and that's called the wisdom of God. See, it's when the Word becomes life that you have the wisdom of God, and you walk in the wisdom that has been revealed to you. So, up to this point, I'm doing good, but now I want to take us a little further. So please, come with me, and let's have a look at Ephesians 2. We're going to read from verse 4. Let's have a look at what God did for us. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. That part I got. I was made alive. By grace, you have been saved. And that part I got. But this is where it stopped. I didn't get verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Or what does that mean? What does that mean? He positioned us above all things. Jesus is at the right hand. The right hand is the place of power, a place of, work with me, authority, right? It's a place of authority. Jesus was raised up, given a name that's above every name, given the highest authority in the universe, raised up by His Father because of the sacrifice He made and the depths He went to save and to deliver the Father's creation. He died for the Father's dream. And the Father said, Son, what you've done for me, I'm going to give you all power, all authority, a name that's above every name. You come sit right by me, son. Come and sit here, son. And you know what, son? You know what? All of those who believe in you and what you've done, I'm going to raise them up and seat them next to you. I want you to see. I want you to see what you've done. Let me see. Everything you've done, you did for them. They have in you. Seated high above all principalities, all powers. The name of Jesus, the most powerful name at which every knee shall bow, given to us. I'm going to read from the Message Bible, verse 6. God picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Verse 7. Now God has us where He wants us. Come on now. Come on now. God has us where He wants us. Turn and tell somebody, God has us where He wants us. I'm going to turn this thing around. Let's make this thing personal. Turn and tell somebody, God has me where He wants me. Tell other person. Tell somebody else, God has me where He wants me. Do you understand? You're exactly where you're supposed to be. God set you down in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus, seated far above all principalities and powers, given a name that's above every name. Listen, God has entrusted you with His name. Jackie gave me power of attorney to sign on her behalf. She trusted me with her name. I can empty the bank account if I want to. I can do whatever I choose because I've been given delegated authority. You have been given delegated authority. He has trusted you with His power and His name and His spirit and His presence. He has trusted you. Here, here. Go in my name. Go, go. Wait until Jerusalem until you receive my power. And then go in my power and heal the sick and raise the dead and preach the gospel and be like me on the earth. Yes. Represent me on the earth. When people see you, let them say, oh, is that what Jesus looks like?
Yeah. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He seated us there, and it says, with all the time in this world, and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. If you believe this, and you begin to act like it is so, what does that look like in my life? How does this affect me? Let me ask you this question. How am I coping with life on earth? Am I coping with life on earth from a position of being on earth? Or am I coping on earth from a position of the throne with God's power granted to me? What happens to my problems on earth if I begin to live from the throne down? Child of God, you will never walk in the victory of your born-again experience until you fully embrace who you are in Christ. This is the revelation. Holy Spirit, give it to us right now. Open our hearts, open our minds. Let us receive the revelation of who we are in Christ. Yes. And let us begin to believe this is true. Say, living above.
Living above.
Say one more time, living above.
Living above.
You don't have to live by the demands of earth. You can live by the dictates of heaven. What is ruling your life? What is framing your vision? Is it the earth and the things about you? Or is it the fact that you have a revelation of who you are in Christ and you're seated together with Him in heavenly places? That will change your whole perspective. Jesus said this. He said, the will of my Father in heaven is to be done here on earth. Did He not say that?
Yes.
That's what He said. And that means in our life, our life. He wants the will of the Father done. But you see, it all revolves around what you see. It revolves around what you see. Close your eyes for a moment. Just close your eyes for a moment. I want you to imagine with me that you are, in fact, seated next to Jesus in heaven. What do you see? What do you see? What does heaven look like? Do you see the angels coming and bowing before the Father, worshiping Him? Do you see the rainbow? Do you see His glory without sunshine, light? Do you see Him and Jesus ruling the universe through the Holy Spirit and the angels? Are you sitting in the control center of the whole universe? And you've got a bird's eye view from heaven. Open your eyes. Now, what do you see? Well, first of all, you see a church building that's too small. You see your problems. You see your shortage of finances. You see the sickness in your body. See the problems that you're having in your relationship, in your marriage, at work, with the children. You're overcome with the things that you're seeing in the natural because the problems of this world are smothering you. They're like, I can't breathe. I don't know what to do. Well, you see, here's your problem. Here's our problem. Our natural vision has limitations. See, our natural vision can only see our life on earth. Your natural vision can't see your perspective from heaven. That's your spiritual vision. That's your spiritual vision. And here's the sad thing. I told you to imagine it. It's not imaginary. It's not imaginary. It's the truth. It is the gospel. That is who you are in Christ. That is who you are. That is what you have. This is what God has already done for you. He's raised you up. What would happen in our life if we began to live life from the throne down? How would that change our prayers? You see, honestly, I tell you what, when we pray, 99% of the time when we pray, we're praying from here up to heaven. We're praying up to God, hoping God hears us. We're praying, oh God, oh God. What would happen if we were sitting next to Him and said, Father, would that change the way you pray? Jesus, just will you talk to Father a moment, Jesus? You see what's going down there, Father? You know, see what's going on? We'll change that right now. I'm going to change that right now. I'm going to use the authority of heaven. I'm going to use the authority given to me in Jesus. All things are possible to him who believes he's seated in heavenly places in Christ. All things are possible to him who believes in the Christ. All things are possible to him who rules from the throne down. All things are possible to him who has faith to believe what God said is true. All things are possible to him who believes the word is so. All things are possible to him who will believe that it's done in Jesus' name. What do you think God sees from his position? Renew your mind and begin to see through God's eyes. How would we live? How would we live if we saw everything from God's view? Shout, living above.
Living above.
Say it again, living above.
Living above.
Maybe when the trials that you're facing on earth become too much, you know what you should do? Close your natural eyes. Stop looking at these things because they're interfering with your spiritual vision. You're seeing these things that are pulling you down instead of lifting up your spiritual eyes and says, wait a minute. I've got to take a breather. I'm going up to be with my Father. I'm going up to be with it. I'm going back up there. I don't need to live in this. I'm going back up there. I'm going to live up there. That's where I'm going to live. Oh, Pastor Henry, you don't. If only you knew, Pastor Henry. The things in my world, are bad. In fact, they're going from bad to worse. It just seems like everything is getting worse. Wait a minute. Spell seems to me. Spell it. S-E-E. Stop. Seems is what you see. Seems is what you see. And you know, seems is not real. It only seems to be that way. But it isn't that way. It just seems to be that way. It's like an hallucination that you're looking at. Well, I mean, things are getting bad. Things are getting worse. Yeah, but wait a minute. You know what? It's like the man in the desert and he sees a mirage. And he thinks, well, there's water and palm trees out there. Many times, what's going on in our life, where we're being pressed by the devil and circumstances, that we begin to imagine and begin to see a mirage of what's ahead of us. And I can tell you something now, that it is fear that's painting that picture, because it's not real. It's not real. It's an imaginary thing that's causing you fear. You all watch the sports on television. I'm sure you do. I don't know what you watch. Maybe you watch baseball. Maybe you watch ice hockey. Maybe you watch football. Maybe you watch basketball. I don't know what you watch. But if you're watching and your team is right behind and they haven't just... I mean, you're running out of time and you're real close. What happens to your emotions? What happens to your heart? Come on, talk to me. Because you know what? You're imagining they're going to lose. You're hoping that they won't. You even pray. God, help that man there. He's a Christian. He's on the team. He's a Christian. Help him. Give him the ball. But you forget this Christian's on the other side as well. What's God going to do? Because there's Christians playing for the other team as well. God goes like this, can't answer this one. But what happens to your emotions? What happens to these things? Because you picture, you imagine, you see something and you go, I don't like what I'm seeing. I don't like what I'm seeing. And your body is experiencing the thing and it hasn't happened yet. Hasn't happened. And this is what the devil does with our problems. You see, we allow the appearance of things to dictate how we live. But the Bible says that the just live by faith, and that we live by faith and not by sight. Faith takes you to heaven. Faith takes you to the position in God. Faith takes you to that realm where all things are possible. But sight will keep you down here in the dirt while you are trying to recover. Your response from what you're going on here is not going to get you out of it. It's going to be the faith that takes you to heaven. And you say, I'm going to rule my life from heaven. I'm not going to give in to the things around me. You see, folks, listen to me. We defeat our difficulties of day-to-day living by using throne power perspective. We defeat our day-to-day difficulties by using throne power perspective. God has raised you up, caused you to be seated with Him in heavenly places, given you a name that's above every name. For the very power that has been given to Jesus is yours. The very name that was given to Jesus is yours. The very seat given to Jesus is yours. For He has come to dwell in His people. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit has come to dwell in you. And where you go, His presence is. Rule from His presence. Say, I live from above, please. Tap somebody on the shoulder and say, I live from above. We are supposed to walk and live in victory. We are supposed to do that by the victory given to us by grace in Jesus. 2 Corinthians verse 4:16. That is why we never give up. Can you see it? Move to the next verse, please. Read it with me. That is why we never give up. Let me hear you. Come on, if you're a believer, you never give up. Why would you want to give up? You're the head, not the tail. You're above, not beneath. Why would you want to give up? There's no reason for the winner to give up. There's no reason for those walking in victory to give up. Why would you want to give up your position? Huh? No, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed day by day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Tell your neighbor, they don't know this. Tell him, your troubles are small, sweetie. Just tell him, your troubles are small and they won't last very long. They won't last very long. I have got a word from God for you. I got a word. Your troubles are small and they won't last very long. You know, the Bible says it came to pass. Have you read that? The Old Testament's full of it. It came to pass, came to pass, came to pass. So did your troubles. Came to pass. Amen. They won't last very long. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know the troubles that I've seen. Listen, folks. Listen to this verse. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Are you ready for a little revelation right now?
Yes.
Could you handle some?
Yes.
A little more? That verse just said that your troubles, although they're small, won't last very long, yet they, your troubles, produce for us a glory. Can't be in the Bible. That's wrong. No. It isn't. That vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So let me explain. You know, a little oyster gets a grain of sand in it, and that grain of sand irritates the oyster, and it keeps covering that thing to stop it from irritating it. And tell me, what is the end result?
A pearl.
What brought about the pearl? The irritation of a grain of sand. So here's the revelation. Your troubles are nothing more than an irritation to your faith. Because you live victoriously over them, reigning from heaven in Christ down. You are not overcome by your troubles. You overcome your troubles. Because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And you have world overcoming faith. So when you hit troubles, all it does for you, it stimulates your faith. And you say, that's the best you got?
Come on now.
You tiny little irritation. You're a small little trouble and you won't last long.
That's right.
So let me share with you a testimony. In January, we got hit with a $34,000 miracle bill. They finally reduced it, as you know, to 50%, came down to about $16,000 by February. In the last 2 months, we have received $11,000 to pay it off. That's okay if you don't want to rejoice. I am rejoicing because that little trouble stimulated me to use my faith in Jesus' name and to be victorious over that lion and that bear. And I'm telling you, Satan, I'm going to send it along, but I'm going to use my faith. It's going to say, maybe I've been sitting on my faith. Maybe I've been sitting on my faith, and when I wasn't using it like I should have been, and here comes trouble. Here comes trouble. And you know, here's the problem with trouble. It usually takes you unawares. It's not the things that you're worried about that really knock you down. It's the thing that blindsides you. Well, didn't see that coming. I know. Were you lying on your back? Are you looking up at heaven? Get a vision. Get a vision. Rise above this thing. Rise above this thing. Talk to your troubles. Talk to your troubles. Shoulder, you're healed. Frozen? No. You worship God. Without pain. Are you listening to me? You little trouble. Stimulate my faith for healing. Do you see me lifting my arm? Do you know that I couldn't? Some of you didn't. I'm here to tell you that you can overcome the little troubles by using a seed of faith. You can even walk on water with a little faith. Oh, Peter, you of little faith, not great faith. Yeah, but I got to walk on the water twice, and all it took was little faith. Little faith. Faith like a seed. Faith like a seed. Hallelujah. Now, so we don't look at the troubles. Next verse, we don't look at the troubles. We don't look at the troubles that we can see now. We're not using our natural vision to look at the troubles. No. We fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. There we go. I'm going to have a spiritual experience. Excuse me. I'm checking out. Excuse me. Don't interrupt me. I'm checking out. Don't even talk to me. Shush. I'm seated in heaven right now. In Christ. With his power, his authority, his name, his grace. I'm seated there. Because my Father put me right where he wanted me. Don't even talk to me. Oh, you're still here? Sorry, I thought I was gone by myself there. Are you getting this? Those little things on earth that bug you, irritate you. No. Don't let them get you down. Don't let them get you down. Use them as an irritant. Use them as an irritant. Scratch it. Ooh. Wait, you know what? Enough of you. I'm going to go up again. Our day-to-day victories come because we live from another realm. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're living in this world, but from another realm. Are you ready to make the transition with me? Shall we do this? Shall we make a transition today, a spiritual transition? Do you have the revelation? It has to come by revelation. You've got to see this by revelation. You've got to say, turn and tell somebody, God's got me where he wants me. Tell him, God's got me where he wants me. And that's not in the dungeon. That's not in the dirt. That's not groveling. No. Seated together with him in heavenly places. That's where he put you. And the reason he put you there is so that he can show his grace and kindness to you for all eternity. It's a place of victory. Hallelujah. It's a place of victory. Shout, living above.
Living above.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Come on. Hallelujah. Say it again, living above. God has me where he wants me. He's placed me in place of ultimate authority. He has given me the ultimate authority. He has given me the name of Jesus. He gave me his presence. He gave me his spirit. He called me his temple. Said, I'm beloved above all things. I choose to walk in the household of my heavenly Father. Jesus is King of Kings, and I'm the King he's King of. Jesus is Lord of Lords, and I'm the Lord he's Lord of. Jesus received all power and authority, and he gave it to me. And he said, go in my name and live victoriously. Hallelujah. Let's praise him. Come on. Come on. Whoa. Come on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout, living above. Living above. And now give Jackie a round of applause for the revelation. She had a great word, right? Great word. I took that great word and I made it awesome. Love you, sweetheart. Thank you so much for everything you share with me. Appreciate it. If you're not saved yet, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, people, don't hold back. Don't hold back. There is a life waiting for you that you can't even begin to imagine. So when I dismiss the congregation, if you want to receive Jesus today, you come talk with me. If you want healing in your body, you come and talk with me.